CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to the fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today in studio, a.k.a. my apartment, Mr. Brand Hughes.
Hi, how you doing?
I think this might be the first 8-Bit that you've been on that we've had.
Ever.
Ever, of course. No, that we've had the background that you helped me build.
Yeah.
We had actually, for those who are not watching the video version, and I'll try to put this one up as quickly as possible. I'm trying to get more into a flow of getting some video stuff up and running. We had built this, when was it we did, like, we had been last, I mean, it was last year, but like last year being like January,
I don't know,
or
like
December,
early December, late November or whatever.
Cause I had had the crazy idea of like, I want to, I kept looking at the background and be like, man, this looks, this looks crap.
A little barren.
And so I tried the poster thing and I'm like, well, it didn't really work too well. And I said, well, Brent, what if we use.
It was a very bachelor approach of like, oh, let's dress up the background. Here's a very small poster.
Well, because of money.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
oh, I hear you.
Funds. You know, so patreon.com/8bitlife, please. help make the background great. And so I go, well, you know, I have all this fucking nerd shit, and my, you know, I literally do, like, even, you know, you guys can't see over here, but there's even another, like, other stuff that's not even up there quite yet, or that. And so I go, well, what if I just bought a, you know, two bookshelves and sort of made this poster thing. And we did this, and so I'm starting to, you know, get back to frame some posters and put some back here. I do have a Mother LP reprint that I should frame and put there.
Hey, you just got that in recently, right?
Yeah, I'm probably going to buy a second one, so that way I can have one to listen to and one to frame, because it, you know, that I also did kick into the, I think they're starting to sell the Mother 2 one, which is better known as Earthbound.
Hmm.
So that'll have an LP as well.
Cool.
Which is kind of fun. It's kind of cool to have been part of that one. Like, it's a really nice, like, I'll just show it to you because I've yet to open it, really.
Right.
But it's a very nice, like, layout. Like, it feels kind of like a Japanese record would feel. It has a very nice, like, look, and just like, this is, like, I took a picture of, like, I can't open this. This is fucking beautiful. I need to keep this sealed, not because it's going to retain value, but because someone, you know, there needs to be a pristine copy of this, to, you know, for
right.
for later generations to hear.
Sure.
But yeah, this is the first time you've been on the show since we've had this reboot. Because did we do a cinematography with this yet?
No.
I don't know if we have. We've, I know I've done something with this background. I know, I think, I forgot who I had on, but I know I've had this background before.
Well, this was set up in time for the
extra live stream. That's right. That's what it was. That's right. That's where your last here, was the extra live stream.
Yep.
I still need to cut some video from that.
You should.
Especially the, I don't know, if were you up that early for me when we did the, I don't know if you were still up at that point. Because I forgot who left.
I was here until you fell asleep.
Right, that's right. You were here to the very, very bitter end.
Yeah.
Which, God, that got scary for me. because I guess I hit the point where my body started getting, like, sick. And I was actually going to, like, almost vomit. I go, like, I got to call this now because I am not going to puke on an extra live stream.
I know how that goes.
You know, like, that, like, moment of just, like, I need some sort of rest.
Yeah.
Because, like, Among the Sleep was a kind of a fun game. I was actually kind of digging it a lot.
It's all right, yeah.
It was actually kind of the, like, it kept me going for a good chunk of time. But, but the next morning I would do the whole, you know, Clot Fiction thing, which that's recorded.
Boy.
There's evidence of that.
I didn't see that. Don't want to.
Charles wanted to see it, and he didn't want to see it. Like, he was like, I'm sad. I'm sorry that I did this. He didn't know. He didn't understand. But, which is why you should do a 12-hour stream instead of a 24-hour, since you physically can't do it, unless we're going to get a real group thing going next year. We had a pretty decent group thing going.
12-hour streams are for babies.
Yeah. We had a pretty decent. We actually had a pretty decent outing this time go around.
Yeah.
a lot of people came by. I always feel bad of doing that because, I mean, I would love to do one day a group one where people cycle in and kind of keep the train going.
Mm-hmm.
But because typically it happens in my house and, you know, my apartment, you know, we never have, you know, I always feel like, yeah, you could pass out here on the floor of my, you know, apartment. You know, here's a pillow, and you know, good luck. You know, I've never felt comfy. Saying, hey, come by anytime. You can, but it's just like maybe next year we'll do that. Maybe I will say, you know, we'll talk about shifts and things like that.
Mm.
People can play whatever game they want to play.
Yeah,
and make it, you know, take the Rooster Teeth approach.
And also you could do something like, you know, Giant Bomb, a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
They do kind of like a relay system.
Yeah, exactly.
So that way, you know, don't have to be here physically.
Yeah,
maybe we'll
try that out next year and such. The question is, okay, if we try that out next year, what game would you want to play?
I mean, well, obviously I would start off with Rocket League. Duh. Da-doy. I don't know.
That was kind of fun playing Rocket League. You and I and my friends in Michigan.
Yeah, it was a little rough for me though. Just with like, oh no, all these settings are weird.
Right.
You know? But yeah.
It was fun. Like for me, the fun part was because I am the newbie to Rocket League,
mm-hmm.
And I will admit it. And Kyle and Tom were not. And obviously, you were.
What's our time to Rocket League mention? 3 minutes,
3 minutes,
4 minutes.
Because that's all you talk about. That's all we talk about is all we talk about is Rocket League and how to produce content. That is our conversation.
It's just my life now.
Because like the rest of the stuff we can't really talk about. Like we can't talk about there's always inside stuff for all the stuff that we do that we just can't talk about in any public fashion.
Mm.
You know, like there are stories and tales.
Mostly because most of it's too boring to talk about.
That's one. One, it's too boring. Two, it is really confidential. Like working with, like, I'll put it this way. If you're around Brian Brushwood,
mm-hmm.
there's a high chance that he will say the phrase, don't tell this to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, a circle of trust is another phrase. Mm-hmm. I think he'll do.
Sure.
And then he'll tell you some shit, you know, from you know how he did the trick to whatever, you know, he'll get real, so to speak, and like half that stuff we can't talk about in
sure.
any capacity except for like the fact that Brian talks about that stuff,
yeah,
like because remember how like how long is it that we knew about the and I guess we could talk about this now because it's already happened and it's been recorded and stuff like that, like how long did we know about the hacking the system?
So I knew about hacking the system on my first day of working. My first day of working,
see, I didn't know.
Helping shoot the pitch video for hacking the system.
See, okay, I had known about hacking the system after the pitch video was shot,
mm-hmm.
because I had to help clean up the thermite, mm-hmm. the thermite desk. I was drafted into that because I was hanging out with. I guess I was there and helping with the scan, whatever the scan packs at the time. And I don't know, has ever the pitch video ever seen the light of day?
I don't think so.
I mean, Brian's talked about it. Like Brian's talked about what the rough concept was, right? Like what the sizzle.
I mean, probably it's not like some big secret or
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. Okay. That's the thing. Because ultimately, like basically, the pitch video one of the components of the pitch video was them. You know, we gotta get rid of the files and they.
Yeah,
you know,
it was fucking, like a bunch of hard drives on a desk out in a field.
Right, and they fucking, you know, just torched with thermite and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Great shot, amazing thing. Of course, thermite is like hot as all fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Gatawag needs more hobbies. No, Gatawag has some plenty of hobbies. We're just not talking. We know.
I do actually.
Wait till we start talking about music. And then. Actually, they started releasing a lot of the South by music lineups.
Yeah,
I haven't seen if anyone that you know is coming down. Mm. I mean, I'm excited for a lot of the bands that are coming down, but
yeah,
I don't know if any like you know.
I mean, Chance will probably be there. He's right. He's always hip to that kind of stuff.
I mean, I don't know if Gambino is going to come down and.
Oh no, he's gone radio silent for like 2 years now.
That means he's working on something, right?
Well, he's working on his show with FX.
Okay.
That he's writing, directing, starring in.
Is he starring as Gambino or is he starring as
a fictional character? that is loosely based on his experience growing up in Atlanta with the rap scene.
Okay.
So it's sort of Gambino, but sort of not.
Okay.
And he's also, I think he's writing a book. I think he's also working on another album.
So he's working on shit.
He was in The Martian. He's starring in movies. He's doing a bunch of shit.
So he's just working on shit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes sense then. Because I know you're pretty well connected to the world of Childish Gambino.
Sure.
In that. God, what were we talking about?
Music?
Music, right.
I don't know.
Shit. No, because we're talking...
Hobbies.
Hobbies. First World Fight Club is no talking about Fight Club. Back Thermite. So, yeah.
Thermite.
The whole torch, whatever, that was part of Sizzle Reel. And so, I'd come by that day, I think at that time we're still doing Scam Packs. The first wave of Scam Packs, mind you. The ones that, you know, I think, I don't know if you can see the mugs. I think they're too high in the shot.
Yeah.
They're over here. And Brian's like, hey, do you want to help me clean up some shit? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. What am I going to do? And so we went by where he filmed the Thermite stuff and basically took his, I think it was his dad's pickup truck and just like put all the shit back there. And it was the weirdest thing. But yeah, we'd known about that for that long. And so that was, and even to the point, like we knew about it. There was a...
That was January 1st.
Yeah.
Of January 2013.
Yeah. Wow. That,
because I remember I started January 1st, and the first day I walked in, and there was Jason Murphy and Brian.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, we're going to go melt some stuff.
Yeah, because you had flown in December, I think, or came by December, helped with some scan packs.
Well, I want to say I drove over for a week in November of 2012, and then I moved out here... December.
You can track when Brant and I met each other and actually had a conversation around the time what movie was it? Life of Pi.
Life of Pi.
Life of Pi. Like if you figure out when Life of Pi is and what month it came out and what year, because it wasn't opening week. I think it was opening week. It might
probably
have been. It was at the weekend after. You can figure out where Brant and I went to the movies first, which is I have to imagine for you, Brant, knowing you now, that had to have been one of the more awkward things that you did. Knowing you now and all the things that we've talked about in private and in public and whatnot, just that had to have been one of those things that just like, who is this guy and why is he dragging me to the films?
Yeah, I mean, I was already familiar with you and who you were to what degree I could be at the time.
Right.
But yeah, it wasn't like the easiest thing for me to do.
but yeah, that's how you can track my friendship with Brant and movies is literally Life of Pi. Because you came then, and then like January 1st, we just started recording. Because again, I had known about it about the time when Brian's like, you gotta see this. And then he tells him what it is, explains hacking the system, and then eventually like kicks up a subreddit, a very private subreddit, for ideas and whatnot, and sort of some select few people were helping curate certain things for episodes at the get-go. And but yeah, we knew about it for a fucking long time.
I mean, we also knew about Modern Rogue for a very long
time.
That
too,
and
shit.
And now that's out.
That's right. That too. That's right. We've known about that.
We've tried to get Modern Rogue happening for like a year.
Modern Rogue
change.
is that thing that, like it, there are certain things like there are stories about that show that I can't talk about because I don't know what's in like I don't know what's in flux anymore.
Right.
But yeah, Modern Rogue was also one of those things that just took. Not forever to get off the ground, because ultimately a lot of
it
is
took forever to get off the ground.
Well, it did, but I'm saying like it didn't take forever to get off the ground because of any sort of like technical difficulty or anything like that.
Right.
It just was like a lot of timing.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of when it comes to making bigger content stuff, either channels or whatnot, like you and I, for when it comes to cinematography and sort of anything here at Cosmic Radio TV, if we just want to do it, we just do it. You know, it's not because we don't have to, whatever, we just do it. Sometimes when other entities or other sort of requirements come up, legal or otherwise, it sometimes becomes a bit cumbersome to just sort of say, let's just do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to get into too much of the politics or too much of the inside baseball stuff like that, because a lot of it, you know, a lot of it doesn't matter, and a lot of it sort of, again, is, you know, what it is. But there's always some type of barrier, and I think with that one, it was a, it was almost the idea of, do we do this now? Do we hope for a season two of Hacking the System, and all that kind of jazz, and. And I guess with Mythbusters ending, there, maybe there's an opening for that kind of stuff. I'm kidding. No, actually, I think Mythbusters ending really shows kind of that that television just doesn't need that anymore. Mm. I'm saying I don't, you know, I'm not sad that Mythbusters is done, but I think it's, you know, I think some of those shows have run their course. But I'm glad Modern Rogue is definitely getting some
traction.
Like, has the article gone up by, you know, the big giant press people?
I have no idea.
Starts with an R. I don't know if you've.
I mean, I heard about that. But.
Okay, so I don't know. I don't know. Again, I know we got called by them, but again, I never. That's also the hard part with all this stuff is I never know what's public and what's not public. Because Modern Rogue was the funny. I mean, Modern Rogue was one of the funniest ones to kind of keep under my belt of like, well, that's a thing that'll happen one day,
right? Yeah,
you know, one day I could talk about this.
And the numerous times that we let it slip that was a thing on the Bizarre Briefing, and then like we just kind of went like,
well, because even with like the early day, like I think one of the best examples of that you told me. And I think I've had Bryce explain it as well, but I love this episode. It's one of my favorite ones, and you've told me the story, and Brant's told me the story, and John's told me the story, and it's all about the puppy. Of course, the puppy was the code name for where you guys saw Modern Rogue shot. If you saw the whiskey vapor episode, that is where
the warehouse space.
That is a warehouse space. There is an episode of Bizarre Briefing. I don't know which month. You probably know.
Oh, right.
You know which you probably know best. Where all three of you, and by the way, I should explain, all three of them being Brant, Bryce, and John. Probably if I am the auxiliary, you know, only during live sound guy and maybe advice on computer stuff person. You know, if I am the de facto IT guy, and by de facto I just mean, hey, I want to set up this, you know, file sharing thing, and Brian probably is not gonna have time to set it up. Can you set it up, Robert? I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. These three are what make Bizarre Magic Inc. really, really flow. If you ever wonder how scam stuff operates and operates at the capacity it does, that is demure edit because of John. And if you ever wonder how the videos stay, you know, awesome, that is because of Bryce and Brant. They're all three talking about this warehouse space. And mind you, all three of them should have the same exact information because
you would think
you're all equally affected by this in some capacity. And the idea, like, you're sure. Like, well, I gotta film Modern Rogue eventually there and stuff like that. And obviously John's gotta, you know, pack shit and ship out all the bar stuff and, you know, those arcane magic boxes with awesome, you know, challenge coins ain't gonna ship themselves. And same thing goes for you know, Bryce. He's got to do the stuff too. You all three apparently do like three different parts of a how'd it go again?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just kind of, I went like, okay, well, here's the part of the show where I'm going to find out a whole bunch of stuff that nobody's ever told me. And then I was like, so I think there was this one place we were looking at. Is that right? And then Bryce was like, sort of, but there's also this other thing. And then John was like, oh yeah, we're moving in like next week. And then it's like nobody knew anything except for, I guess, John kind of knew everything, but it was a whole mess.
It's just an amazing idea of just like of you can hear in that just this game of telephone happen live. And it's just this like a magical, like it's a moment that I don't like.
And really, like, the events, like the order in which things unfolded was kind of art.
Right.
Like, there's no way we could have planned it to
point.
Be more dramatically revealed.
That's the point. That's what makes it such a great thing, is just the idea of like, so I think it's this kind of right, but it's this. You're both wrong. We're moving in next week. I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
It's just like, I didn't even, like, you don't go, I like the idea that Bizarre Briefing becomes this, like, I'm going to go into this show everything I, you know, with a certain conception, and I know by the end of it that everything I know will be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like the show is pitched to keep like the audience informed, but like I personally understand that the show is like deeply important, so that way I can understand what the hell is going on in the company.
This is the behind the scenes, like there's a reason for the show, and then there's a reason for the show.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Which is the best part of, which is why I love Bizarre Briefing so much, because I love the idea of just like the joke I had made originally was like the first episode was like the airing of grievances. You know, that it's just Festivus every month, and really ultimately it's becoming very apparent that Bizarre Briefing is the closest you guys have to like a company meeting.
It is
a monthly meeting, which I mean, you know, every company has like we have team meetings at my day job, and you know, we have all sorts of, you know, crazy shit like that, but it's becoming very very apparent that that is what Bizarre Briefing is for you guys. It's your monthly meeting to kind of like, okay, what's going down? Even though you have like a Slack channel and you have all right, this kind of like in the age of insane communication.
I mean,
that is my favorite. I still love that story because it's just such a funny, like, because I can see the gears in your head moving as you say a phrase. And then I can see, you know, Bryce just go like, it's this, and then I could see both of you just like the what the fuck mm-hmm. moment that when John drops the oh yeah, we're moving in a week, and like that none of you knew.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful moment.
Because it's just like, what? Where is this space? What is this space? Mm-hmm. Where are we moving? Oh yeah, it's very, we're moving in behind some random, we're moving into some warehouse that's owned by a or that's rent, you know, also or like, We has it been revealed like who we co rent with at all? Like
I think so.
As like not the company itself, but just like
yeah,
just, like it's like it's very
just
it's
some cleaning. People.
It's just some cleaning. It's very what is that? Better Call Saul. Like we're like Better Call.
Is,
it
yeah.
kind of is like it's Better Call Saul. You know the show. Like his office is right above a
it's like in the back of like a nail place.
Right. A nail place and like you know kind of crazy things like that and ours is like. Like you go there, and there's cleaning supplies, and like right. and the banner for whatever the cleaning company is. I just want to reveal the name so no one starts, you know, knocking on the door saying, "Yo, where's the scam school at?" Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we're ready to pub. You know, there's only so many things that get public. Like I remember during the early days of before Brian started selling stuff, that I think I had gotten, I forgot what I had got, but. Brian, I guess, had mailed out something to me mm-hmm. as a fan, and I remember I took a picture of it, like the package that was like, you know, came from Brian Brushwood, but his actual address was on there. So I actually, you know, quickly got some black marker and blacked it out and still took a picture like, yay, Brian sent me something, because I'm like, I should know this information. Like, again, this is before, you know.
Right.
Now it doesn't fucking matter. Like, now I know where Brian lives, and I've been to his house about 1,020,000,000 different times now.
Sure.
Yeah. But back then, it was just like let me see where, you know, as the creepy fan, like, let me put the address in, you know, maps and see what the hell it is. And I see it's like, wait, well, wow, Brian lives way the fuck out there. Mm-hmm. You know, compared to me over here in the northern, a little bit more north, Brian is definitely a little bit more south than, not the most south.
Pretty out of the way
compared to where I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that was like the first one. Cause ultimately now I think the address that gets shipped out is a PO box or something like that. Some type of address that if someone were to find, you know, because that's all we need is just a random fan to come to Brian's house. That's all you need at this point.
No, we do not.
I know
need
you
that.
Don't need that.
We do not need
I
that.
I know you don't need that. But I'm saying, like, that's all. Like, when I say all you need, I mean, like, that's the last thing you need.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine some of Brian's fan base. I got to talk about this. And this is from our last week's show.
Okay.
Not like last week's shoot, like the last time we shot. Oh. What the fuck was up with those dudes' pants?
Oh, you know, like
I mean, they're like
it's the same thing as Brian's hair.
No, yeah, I get it. Like it was such a weird thing of like it clicked in me and saying like, man, those pants are ridiculous. But he probably gets a bunch of fucking gig. Like, he said himself he got a bunch of gigs from it. And I was just like, man.
You got to play the part, man.
Yeah. Like that was, like, for me, I was like, man, this guy, like, and again, no qualms to you. I think JJ was his name. No qualms to you. You're an awesome guy. In fact, most of the people that come down that are either fans of Brian from Chat Realm or Scam School are all cool. Like, I have yet to meet a fan of Brian's that's like a complete and utter douche. Mm-hmm. I've yet to meet that. There's got to be at least one or two just by a lot of averages.
Yeah.
But I've yet to meet them, and I preface what I'm about to say with this. Man, I think you and I have the joke of like the magic, you know, it's more of an internal joke between you and I of like the magic fan and you know, and Brian fans, like the fans of Brian's that are like really into magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looked like a magician.
Sure, yeah. Although, to his credit, he looked like a magician and didn't have crazy colored hair, didn't have crazy styled hair.
Nope.
So, you know that once he gets home, take off those clothes if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Put on some civvies.
Exactly. No.
He's just a regular dude.
Yeah, no,
unlike people like Brian when he had, like, that insane neon green hair. Like, he gotta live with that.
Ash says, ask the girl fans and see how that works. I don't think I've met any female fans that have been douches either. I mean, granted, I don't like my interaction with the fans. And I say that like, and it's like my interaction with fans. Like, I mean, a lot of them don't know who I am unless you're Chat Realm. And I've started to learn slowly but surely that Chat Realm is such this smaller subsection of Brian's fan base. Mm-hmm. Because I'll always ask the same questions to everyone that comes on the show that's a fan. I go like, how did you get into Brian? In other words, I'm trying to poke and prod. Is he Chat Realm or is he Scam School exclusive?
Right. Or is he one of those weird hacking the system outliers?
Yeah, there are a couple of those outliers out there. So I start poking and prodding and stuff like that and sort of figuring out you know, where in the spectrum that they are, because for me, it's almost an indicator of like, what references can I bring up? Because if they say, oh yeah, I watch it as a W show, okay, cool, Diamond Club represent. And usually I don't have to explain who I am.
Right.
To most of them. They'll say like, yeah, you're the guy that does, you know, at the least they'll say, hey, you're the guy that does Movie Draft Minute videos. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. That's good enough for me. You know, and there's not like this, topic list, magicians taking off their clothes. Yeah, but yeah, you're right, because he didn't have any hair. He just had his, you know, he had the rings.
I mean, he had hair. He didn't.
Right. Well, I'm saying he didn't have any like
insane hair.
Whoa, I'm Magic Man hair.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like he just had the, which I'm also amazed because I asked him like he'd say like, so where'd you find those pants? Oh, these are golf pants. Like, of course they are. I'm amazed they sell golf pants like that. That also perplexes me.
Hey, man.
I'm just like there is.
It's that golf culture.
My dad was part of that golf culture. He never wore pants like that.
He should have.
Maybe that's the problem. I now want to like figure out, because I've been like learning some stuff about like, there's this weird subsection of golf culture that's like has all these kind of weird things. I think it's like people our age or my age or older that like still want to be cool or still, you know, feel that they need to be, you know, unique and cool while they're playing golf, of all things. I think golf's not a bad sport. Golf is pretty cool. I mean, I realized golf was like a market when I went to this place called, I think it's called Top Shot, Top Drive, Top Golf or whatever it is.
Sure.
Something here in Austin. There's a couple of them around states where it's like a bar and a driving range put together. So you can get like appetizers and, you know, get a martini and you know, fucking crazy drink is like DJ music's playing and you can, you know, fucking hit golf balls and you know, take some, you know, some fucking shots and shit.
You hit the balls with the neon light tubes.
Basically, you know,
have a party.
All it needed was fucking rave gear and that would have been done. But because that's what I think what amazed me the most was that these are golf pants. Like he bought them for the I'm a magician performer, and that makes sense. I want to know the guy that bought these saying, I'm going to go on the links with those on. I want to meet that man.
I don't.
I do. I want to meet that man. I want to know this man who said, you know what, honey? This is how I want to express myself while I'm on the golf course. And when I'm about to tee up and you know, try to get that eagle, you know, to get my score under par as best I can on the links, as they say, I want to wear these obscenely rainbow pants. Because they were loud pants.
Yeah.
And they make sense. Like, I almost want to say, like I had to ask him where he got them, because I'm like, is there a store that sells these? Like, is there a magic performance? You know, like, we make the joke with Brian's, his costume that he wore for the scam stuff sale. What was it?
Albert Scamson.
Albert Scamson. Like, I make the joke all the time. Like,
Albus?
Albus, I think it was. Whatever. Albus Scamson. Yeah. I make the joke all the time that, like, is there a store that just, like when you buy, like, your break-apart rings and your, you know, trick deck, whatever, that they just give you that costume as like a throw in, you know, as a bonus or something. Mm-hmm. Like you get that with the top hat and the wand as your like magic, you know, typical magic person costume.
Well, you kind of joke about that, but like one of my favorite things is like discovering like these weird like holes of enterprises and stuff. Like,
yeah,
like my latest one has been like socks. Right, so I've been looking for new socks.
Actually, it's funny. I've been trying to get some new socks too, and I'm actually curious where you buy them
for like a billion years. And then I was like, I want colored socks because I'm so done with white socks.
Yeah,
I want socks with a little bit of length because I have like under the ankle, and it ends up like slipping under my feet.
Yeah,
it's the fucking worst. And so I've been looking for socks for like a year, and then finally on JackThreads, like I found some socks, and then I found like these socks that I'm wearing right now, they're like amazing.
Who makes the socks? Only reason I say that, because
I don't remember.
I've been I know that the Rooster Teeth guys teamed up with Stance
makes my socks.
Okay, yeah, Stance is the Strideline and Stance are the two like big ones. Stance actually, they're doing a lot of podcasting sponsoring too. Speaking of like Stance.com, I think sponsors. I think they sponsored Sports Ball, one of the Rooster Teeth podcasts, a couple other things like that. But I think Strideline makes the Funhouse and Rooster Teeth and Achievement Hunter socks there. And I know like Mac Weldon makes some nice socks as well. And I've been thinking of, you know, when I get paid next, to start buying some of those better quality socks, because I'm kind of getting tired of wearing white socks and sort of these thin, crappy things that I have on right now.
But yeah, like for me, for my whole life, like, I've had the same socks for like 8 years or something.
Right.
And it's like socks have always been like a utilitarian, like they serve a function, but you know, I never really gave them the time of day to
Isn't
actually
that
think
weird
about
as
it.
You, like,
but then, yeah. Like, you find some place like Stance, and it's like, oh my god, these people like live and breathe socks, like day in and day out.
Yeah.
These people are socks, and like they care about socks, and socks are like a thing that they're like designing socks, and it's like it's this weird like world that exists that I've never had any access to.
Every one of those, all those worlds fascinate me. Like all the worlds of products, like, again, knowing what I know about how things are manufactured and how stuff like that, like, there are certain sections of like manufacturing I would love to go to the conferences for. Like, I would love to go to like a conference that like all they're discussing is like how to make cards. And not just designs of cards, but how to actually print them and all the equipment that goes in that. Like
all the materials.
Like, if you take the idea of like think of like in our world, like in your world, like if I were to say your expertise, it's video.
Mm-hmm.
It's cameras and stuff like that. Like, you know, if you go to something like NAB, like the National Association of Broadcasters, like me, I'll look at all like the weird audio equipment I'll never get forward, or like crazy mics and shit like that. You may look at like, for example, the new Canon crazy 8K, you know, DSLR filming kind of thing or whatever, or the what's the new they released a new Sony camera, didn't they? I think it
Sony camera you should be thinking about is Sony a7s2,
right? The s2, that's the one that they released. Yeah. Which fucking looks fucking dope. Like, I kind of like, I wish I had 3k just to drop.
I'm gonna buy a camera this year.
You should definitely get that one. You should definitely, you of all people should.
The Sony A7Ss are like,
yeah,
that is a series I'm very interested
yeah,
in.
Yeah, you should, because A, you like, you can get an adapter for your Canon lens to that. And they're both full frame, so it's not like you're sacrificing anything. And I know you're a very big on full frame, whereas I don't necessarily care as much But I know you're very big on that, and and honestly, you of all people should have that camera in your arsenal.
I basically only shoot at night exclusively.
Exactly, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah. like you of all people should have that in your arsenal, because that is like holy shit.
Yeah, it's pretty well built for everything that I do.
Right, exactly. That's why I'm like, if you get a new lens, I'd say yeah. If you're in the market and you can justify that kind of cost, I'd say yeah, go with the art, because that just, this is what happens when you start talking about cameras and whatnot. But anyways, the idea being that that's the industry that we know about. We can get kind of geeky and things like that. You know that every other thing that happens, like there's an industry like that for each one of those. Mm-hmm. Like there's some type of conference that happens every year that is just that critical. Like just that talking about the, you know.
An adhesives conference. They sit there and they talk about tape. They're like, we have these new innovations in tape technology.
I know we're just kind of joking about it, but like I have been in the last job I worked at before the one that got me to Austin, was actually a place that made vanities and my manufacturer, like you could actually, like they're the vanities that you'd see like at like Home Depot and whatnot. They would talk about glue. And like uses of glue of to put a dot here, dot here, dot here, dot here, to just to get the right amount to have it. And the glue has to have this certain heat. Like people were fucking stressed about glue, wood glue.
It's pretty good.
It's so, you know, they exist. All that stuff exists. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of the, I had made a joke at one point with somebody. I don't remember what show I talked about it on. I might have talked about Jim. I'd just been in person. Just the idea of like that they're, you know, like. Like there are probably conferences where they talk about half the stuff. Just the idea of and when I talk about like adult entertainment conferences, I don't mean like porn conferences. I mean like there's got to be conferences where people talking about materially used for a dildo. Like what type of silicone you use and how, you know, what ridges do what. You know, there are focus groups for this, like everything that has manufacture of some sort in some mass quantity for people to either utilize or consume has that. I mean, if there are people who are stressing about the idea of a screw and how that's manufactured, you know, if there's a widget for it, if there's that, like there's some type of conference. And I would love to meet the people that look at a product that, you know, that we see on a day-to-day basis or something like that and completely see it in a different light. I would honestly want to one day go to a magic conference, like something like that, just to meet the people at those things.
Yep. And ask them, hey, what do you think about Magic Cafe? Good or bad?
What is Magic Cafe? I don't know this.
It's a forum.
Go on.
And they really dislike Brian. Pretty much through and through.
Why do they dislike Brian?
Because they're all old magicians who think that nobody should learn anything about magic, because that's how it was when they grew up.
Oh, those guys. Those are my favorite ones. Those are the... There are... Magic. I think you and I have had this conversation, and I think we've even had the conversation on the air, so this might be rehashing old topic. But, like, magic people are... They may be the most fascinating people I get to meet. And during scam school, people are people who are really into magic. I think, you know, I mean, the joke you and I made was, of course, the Pitch Perfect, and what's the character?
Oh, right.
What's the character's
Benji.
Name? Benji. That like you had met people like Benji before in your experiences.
Yep.
But like all of them are so fascinating because there's so many different subsections on just magic alone. Like there's the old people who are just sort of like, it's got to be like the old days where you found the,
if you're not reading a 600-year-old book, it's not magic.
Right. And then there's the new YouTube people who are like, well, I didn't know that that was a copywritten trick and that someone owns the rights to that. And
there definitely is many of those.
Right. You know, people who just don't understand.
I just ripped this DVD that some magician is selling for their livelihood. Right. There's a problem with this?
I didn't realize that you could copyright that stuff. It should be free, you know, fair use. You know, people, you know, yeah. People who don't really quite understand how copyright truly works. And trust me,
really nobody knows how copyright really works.
Do you want to tell a story?
Which story?
Our copyright story.
Oh, yeah, sure. I feel like we've talked about it before.
We never talked about it in depth.
Okay.
And yeah. I've been teasing this for a while because I've been talking, you know, there have been times where it's come up. Like, I think actually last week we had had Greg Hoffman from Vim Flam Philosophy. And we started talking about content ID and copyright. And I mentioned sort of that there's a time that I just get to tell a story. So I guess it'd be last year. Last year around this time.
It was December of 2014.
Right. Yeah. We had released two videos that month. One of them is our highest viewed video.
By a mile.
That being Expectation versus Reality from the hits movie 5 Days of Summer. And the other one is a commentary for a lame joke. We'll get into what that one is soon.
It's a good joke.
It's a great joke. It's a great gag.
It's a dumb. It's a really good joke.
It's a really good joke. So we had done a video for the 500th summer, and obviously since we use a lot of clips, you know, in it to kind of illustrate stuff, it got immediately flagged by Content ID. Mm-hmm. Now, it's legitimately fair use because we are commenting on the movie, we are educating, things like that. It follows a lot of the pillars of fair use. So we were, out of all the videos we had done, we were pretty confident that we were in the right. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened with that video.
It's not like we got a strike or anything. They were just like, hey, this isn't going to be seen by anybody. And we're like, nope, it is.
Yeah, and you know, it's ultimately Content ID's real purpose is to prevent people from putting full movies up.
Right.
And if you're an artist, to say, hey, I want that money. I want some of that ad money too.
Right.
That's really its purpose in life, is that the people want their ad money. And that's fair. Whatever. We don't do ads because we don't have enough hits really to justify it, and, you know, a lot of other reasons. Although I wish I put ads on that one, but it's okay. I'm okay without monetizing that one because I think if we had monetized it, it would have been a little bit harder.
Right.
The other video that we did that year, and it's more of an audio thing. And Brant and I typically will, you know, when we're kind of at that time, we'll look through Amazon Video and see, you know, oh, this would be kind of fun to do commentary for. Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, we're looking for a Christmassy kind of thing.
And we'd already done Treevenge from in Halloween or something. We'd done it earlier, mm-hmm. so we couldn't do that again, which we should have saved that. But it's okay. And we were looking there, and we kept seeing the whole fireplace for your home. You know, that video looping thing that's just mm-hmm. a guy that did a really clean recording of a fireplace and, like, you know, put public domain, you know, Christmas music over it and whatnot. And we're like, what if we just did a commentary for this shit? Not saying it's shit, because ultimately, you know, what's the guy's name that did it? We
I don't remember.
I have to look it up because this is all critical part of the story. Is this guy's name? Like, it's if somebody in the chat room,
not that critical.
We'll call him
Fireplace Guy.
Yeah, Fireplace Guy. Because anyway, so, you know, we were like, you know, let's do this, be silly, be funny, and we ended up using it as a vehicle to kind of talk about our Christmas memory and some sort of, you know, what Christmas meant to us and family and everything else. And it became I think it was a pretty strong discussion between you and I.
Yeah, it was all right.
So typically when we do the commentaries in cinematography, we tend to get a screenshot from the movie. Brant usually grabs one and, like, adjusts it or adds, you know, a certain color filter to it or does something to it. But, you know, just the idea of, like, to illustrate that, you know, totally within the realm of fair use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess because it's very, very easy to duplicate the concept of a fire recording, and that there's probably a razor thin margin on these videos in terms of making them and getting money for them for whatever reason. I'm not judging. I'm just this is pure business numbers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, those guys tend to watch like hawks for anything and everything that could be a copy.
Yeah. Because, like, if you got something going, like, you want to keep that, you don't want to sacrifice your
livelihood.
Yeah.
Well, it's like we're talking about with Magic DVDs. It's that like, I'm making, these guys are making their money. And for all we know, this could be, like, the gig that powers everything and that powers the, like, real creative work he's done. Like, there's typically, for in Hollywood movies, for example, you will do a big blockbuster film. Like,
A good example would be Duplass Brothers.
Right.
So the Duplass Brothers, they do a bunch of like small indie stuff, but they weren't really able to do that until I was listening to an interview the other day where he talked about he got a shitty short film into Sundance and it did well.
Yeah.
And it got the attention of like some environmental or landscaping company, and they were like, hey, we want you to do a documentary for us. And he was like, well, this is kind of a bullshit gig. How about $1 million? They're like, sure. And so he was like, well, okay. So everybody got like really big paydays at the end of that documentary, and he used some for the film and some invested, and the rest of that money just kind of went to funding like his actual films that he wanted to do.
And then, or Christopher Nolan, for example, doing the Batman movies, and then
The Dark Knight Rises to fund
like Inception and things like that, which are movies that are just like these high concept films that is hard to pitch to a studio when they're, you know, all they're thinking about is how can we spend the next property to make a shit ton of money.
Sure.
So I understand that. I fully get that as a creative, and I go, cool. And none of what we did was ever to insult these guys. It was a joke of like, this is a funny video to do a commentary on, because typically we did commentary for movies and we'd comment about scenes and whatnot. This is our like, let's have fun and talk about Christmassy.
Right.
So we end up getting a slam on it because we had a screenshot for it. And I guess, you know, their lawyer didn't really listen to the video at all, because we would later find out from the fireplace guy, through a roundabout way, had viewed our video, liked it, thought we were awesome, and we'll get to that in a second, because that's probably the funniest part of the story, I think. Because I'll tell from my point of view. So we get this copyright slam, and for those who don't understand about copyright slams on YouTube, they at the time prevented us from doing any live streaming. And at that point, we were just starting the 8-Bit Life live streaming stuff. And
it also prevented like uploading videos longer than 10 minutes.
10 minutes and
a whole bunch of other restrictions.
Right. And like custom thumbnails weren't allowed. You couldn't annotate shit. Like it was bad. And it was this like, it was the video that we had done, not even remotely thinking that that would have been a thing.
Yeah, like who would have guessed?
Yeah, out of all the things we did that year, like out of all the ones that
it seemed like the safest video.
Exactly. It was the safest video, and it was the one, and so we immediately refuted it, but because it wasn't an auto content ID one, we had to like, there was this agonizing 30 days for me. Because like I was like almost like thinking legal trouble of shit like that, like how
you're like, oh man, what if they refute and then they take us to court,
yeah,
and then we have to fight this,
yeah, like, yeah. There was a whole Stress Robert version that you never saw on there. In fact, like the day it happened, I had to do the movie draft minute, and I couldn't do it. It wasn't even like I can't do it.
That was the one where Leon did it, right?
Yeah, that was the one where someone picked up the thing, because I was just like, I just want this day to end. Mm-hmm. I just want this to be done. It was a weird December. Like, I want this done. I can't. Like, it was such in my mindset that I couldn't do like a welcome to the movie draft minute. I'm like, welcome to the movie draft minute, where I've got a copyright strike and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do any of these videos anymore ever again.
Yeah, and also to add on to it, like this was happening as we were waiting for Fox Searchlight. Or Spotlight,
yeah.
Searchlight, to respond to our refusal of the 500 Days of Summer video.
Well, this is after that, but this was after that one, because it gotten passed somehow. It was all part of all this. It was a weird thing, and so like Brant and I almost double teamed trying to find these guys and contacting
Twitters and Facebooks and we went to their website and there was like a contact us box, and I was like, okay, well, let me type out this big thing, and then I submit, and it's like, oh, you didn't fill out the CAPTCHA.
What CAPTCHA?
And there's no CAPTCHA. So like the whole contact system was broken over there, and it's like, oh, what are we gonna do? They don't even have an email up. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, we were flipping. Like, I was flipping out because I'm just like, can I get this going faster? Like, it wasn't even I can wait 30 days, because that was the most like. That was probably the 30 most agonizing days of 2015.
It's pretty rough, yeah.
Because like that year, like 2015, I've written a Medium post to kind of the stuff that 8-Bit Life had that year, and there's some amazing stuff that happened. But like before that, I had found out about the whole Japan Night thing and everything else, and then it's like Merry Christmas, like Happy New Year, asshole, copyright strike, like what the fuck, you know? The funny part of that story is that in the back of my mind, and I'm going to say that this guy is actually a really awesome guy. In the end of it all, I really respect this guy, Fireplace guy. I feel terrible. I'm not knowing his name.
That's
But in the but for those 30 days, he was my arch nemesis.
He really was.
He was like I knew his name. I knew every project.
Like, let's dig up all the info we can find.
Yeah, like I learned about this man and other shit that he worked on, and he has an enterprise and stuff like that. Like, he's got this not just a fireplace stuff. He's got like some pet videos unlocked. Like, he's got some shit.
I think there's like an aquarium video.
Yeah, aquarium video. Yeah, that's what it was. Like, the joke we, Brant and I always make. Like, do you want to do the aquarium video one year? And we're just like, yeah. No. We never touch his, not because he's a bad guy.
And there are a couple different fireplace variants, so right. Maybe we could just do like the extra log version.
Yeah, like there was the best one is that this past Christmas I was looking through Netflix and they now have it at 4K, which to me goes. Here's the question for you, you know, as a joke one: how high do you think he's filmed that? Like, what resolution do you think he's filmed it at?
Oh, just 4K.
Just 4K. You think that's high as he goes? You don't think he's got like an 8K Panavision?
An 8K master?
That'd be amazing.
I mean,
that would be,
if things go well for him this holiday season, maybe he'll look in against some red cameras and shoot that.
Oh man, that'd be hilarious. That would be the.
It's not a hard thing to reshoot.
No, it's not. But that's the question. Like, maybe he's like, you know what? He could have done that. He could have rented a red camera like for an hour and just recorded like this in like the highest quality he can. Mm-hmm. And just is slowly like dull, you know, putting it out there and just sort of that. I guess, you know, it got some Netflix traction and it was really kind of fun. But anyways, like, we knew this guy's name. We knew every bit about him. We were just like, you know, he became my arch nemesis for a while. And it's sort of funny when how things turned out, because eventually you got word from the guy.
Yeah, he started talking to us like 3 weeks into our wait.
Right.
Our 4 week wait.
Right, exactly. Like, you got a hold of him somehow. It was through Facebook.
Through Facebook. And it was like through, like, before Facebook had like the sort of okay Facebook Messenger system.
Yeah.
And so it was like in their weird, like, sort of email system, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's just like really hard to find, and I didn't get notified or updated when he sent it to us.
Right. But it was like 3 weeks into this ordeal nightmare.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, I watched your video. You guys are amazing. You guys should really do this on radio or so. Like he was like, mm-hmm. like actually talking us up. And it was this like moment when Brant sent it to me over, like, we have a Slack channel for CRTV stuff and everything else. When he sent me the message over Slack, it was like you got to the final boss of the video game. Like, you're ready to take on Bowser, and Bowser is just like, hey, how's it going, bro? Come on in. You know, I got some coffee. I got some snacks. You want to come watch? You know, play some video games, stuff like that.
Yeah, like the Bowser theme starts playing.
Yeah,
and then Bowser's like, oh yeah, man, you want to walk by.
Yeah, you want
that's
you?
That's cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. Just and it's just like,
go hit this axe.
You know, you realize that, like, Bowser's like the nicest person on the planet, and like that he was just that who you thought was your villain was not him. It was just, you know, his overzealous legal team.
They didn't retract the thing though.
No, they didn't.
We had to wait the full 30 days.
Because I imagine that he just did that. He contacted his like anonymous legal team. His legal team just didn't bother because. Who the fuck cares? They don't give a right. shit. He gave a shit, and I learned that. I learned that this guy's cool. His legal team and his other company was just like, they're not pieces of shit. They're just very, very overzealous because, fuck it, you got to be overzealous when you're essentially your biggest product is a single piece of stock footage.
Right.
And not to say that's a bad thing or a good thing. Like I said, you know, that piece of stock footage could be the thing that puts his kid through college, and his kid, you know, his kid who's going to college may make the next moon. You know, he may be like a David Bowie son kind of thing that produces an amazing film. Just so happens your father's like, you know, fucking Ziggy Stardust or, you know.
Anything's possible, Roberto.
I'm just saying. I'm saying that being because it was just such a weird story about that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it was such a nerve wracking thing. It was like, it became like the thread between Brant and I for the next like month. It was our story. It was this, and it was our story of just like, you know, is it up? Is it going? Is it happening? What's going on? You know, what mm-hmm. do we do now? You know, can we post anything? It's like, well, I can cut this down to, you know, like, because you cut down a video, I think, down like. For something for one of the videos we because we did publish a video during that time, I forget what video it was, but I remember that you would cut it down to like the bone to get it to like underneath that time marker. I forget what video it was, but if you can look around that time and, you know, early January and draw your own, you know, your own conclusions. Cause I remember that was part of the thing was just like, I can't upload beyond 50 minutes and you got it like to like 14:39 or something like something like.
Might have been the up in the air.
Might have been.
Analysis
yeah.
or something.
Maybe it was. No, I don't know. Maybe it was. I'll have to look. Cause I remember there was a video that you and I did or something like that. That was just like, it got right to the, like whatever the marker was, we got it up below that, but like not by like this, like, oh, by a 3 minute margin, but like, no, by like this razor thin kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the story. And Fireplace Guy, if you're listening, you're an awesome person and I have no ill will against you. That being said, I'm probably never going to ever, you know, do a commentary for one of those things again. Or yeah. If we do, we're going to.
That ship sailed, dog.
Yeah, because we would.
You screwed that one up.
Because we joked about it. We joked about the idea at that time when we did the video because we saw the aquarium one at the same time. We joked about, like, we should do something like this every year. We should do the summer. We should do the aquarium one. And then we got slapped with that thing, like, we're never touching this ever again. None of these we're ever touching again. These are all verboten. They're no longer allowed in any capacity. And it's a joke that Brant and I share.
When the thumbnail is so close to the final product that people can mistake it yes. for act- yeah. you're actually just stealing the video?
Yeah, like, no.
Probably not a safe bet.
No, no. Like, I almost joked about the idea of, like, if we ever did this again, which we won't, we go to, like, you know, we go to stockphotos.com and then purchase some random clip, any clip, fuck, who cares, you know, some fireplace with the.
And I think we even considered that. We even
considered it, but we're just like, you know, it's a thumbnail, it's fine. We've used thumbnails before. What yeah. could possibly go wrong with using a thumbnail from the video? Oh, look, copyright strike. That's what goes wrong, Robert.
Yeah.
And it was not even like, it was so annoying. And it was the most nerve-wracking 30. Like, I couldn't enjoy Christmas. I couldn't enjoy New Year's. Sorry, it was New Year's Eve. Because it was New Year's that it happened. That's right. It happened like New Year's Eve or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was at work because I worked the overnight shift. I was just fucking stressed the fuck. I was stressed the fuck out. I was so fucking stressed. I was so like, I can't handle this shit. I had lost it because I was talking to Brant, like, our fucking channel, just like, what the fuck are we gonna do? Oh, fun stories. I think we're at the mark. We've ran out of time. We are fully at about an hour.
All right.
Unless you want to talk about David Bowie or something like that.
Dude's cool.
Yeah.
Wasn't like super resonant to me, but I I appreciated and admired him as an artist.
Well, did you ever see Moon? I guess in one way he was resonant too. Did you ever see Moon in the movie? I've yet to see Moon. In one way he was resonant because the director for that was his son.
Sure.
So there you go. So if it wasn't for David Bowie and, you know,
David Bowie's biggest impact on me was The Flight of the Conchords, Bowie's in Space.
That's right. That's a lot of people's one. For me, it was the music. We'll talk about the outro, maybe. Brant, as always, a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Thanks.
Where can people find you these days?
You know.
Is there a YouTube channel? Is there a YouTube channel that you work on and make content for?
Oh, man. There are so many YouTube channels. YouTube.com/cinematography, YouTube.com/scamschool, YouTube.com/cosmicradiotv, YouTube.com/gadwag, YouTube.com/bbpdvideos,
YouTube.com/
YouTube.com/scamstuff.
Is that any more?
I think that's it.
Okay.
There. And Twitter.com/gadwag. You can just gadwag wherever. You're looking at Twitch.
I've
done some Twitch streaming lately.
Are you on Peach somewhere? Do you want to promote your Peach? I'm on nope. Peach and I don't want to promote it either.
I heard about it one day and then I thought, no,
it's silly. But I think I understand what its use case is.
Is that Yak? Is peach yak?
I wish it was yak. Yak is more useful. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 on the Twitters and, of course, in the chat room. If you want to catch our previous episodes here, you can go to cosplay.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to the show notes, our Twitter account, which is at 8bitlifepodcast. And, of course, after you've if you have some money left over after you've watched all the Fireplace for Your Home videos, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife. And then and give the show some support, because these bookcases don't pay for themselves.
They really don't. Really stuff don't. On them doesn't either.
Yep. If only Puppy Cat over there could generate income.
But what a world.
What a world. So that's it for today. Tune in next time. Talking about the something completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.
Vote Libertarian! I'm Harry Pressman!